ओम ज्ञानतिमिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. Yesterday we were discussing about Srila Prabhupada's books. I'd like to sit down. You want to stand up? You can stand if you want, but thinking it might be more comfortable sitting down. And in fact, not only yesterday, but every day we're speaking from Srila, either about Srila Prabhupada's books or from Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada is the founder, Acharya of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. We often hear it said that Srila Prabhupada is present still today with us. How is he present? Well, he himself gave the idea of how the spiritual master is always present in his dedication to his, what we might call magnum opus, his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. We have to leave a pathway here so people can come through, otherwise they'll block up more and more at the back. Please leave a... Incoming devotees will all sit in the middle, right in the middle of the path, so you have to tell them to come in. Srila Prabhupada wrote that this Srimad Bhagavatam is dedicated to his divine grace Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa Parivrajaka Acharya Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada. He lives forever by his divine instructions, and the follower lives with him. So the important part of the prominent feature, the most important feature of the guru is his instructions. What is the difference between a guru and an ordinary person? An ordinary person eats, sleeps, goes here and there, sometimes gets sick, and a guru does also. But what the guru speaks is of a quality completely different to that of ordinary persons. Ordinary persons speak only about how they can eat, sleep, go here and there, get sick, and all the bodily functions and mental functions. And the acharyas speak from a platform beyond this mundane eating, sleeping, growing old, growing sick, and dying. They speak of a platform on which the eating, sleeping, living is of pure bliss, where there is no growing sick, there is no death. So these the words of the acharyas are preserved in their writings, and those who hear the messages of Godhead, they become elevated to the platform of Godhead, the platform on which Godhead lives, the platform on which Godhead exists. This is bhakti yoga. Yoga means linking. The link between ourselves and Krishna has become weak, practically to the extent that it appears to be non-existent. So that linking process begins with hearing. The sounds from the spiritual world, they penetrate the coverings of ignorance over the heart and reach to the soul. This is why Srila Prabhupada's books are not ordinary books. And even among many other spiritual literatures or Vaishnava literatures, Srila Prabhupada's books have a unique position because they are especially commissioned by Krishna for saving the fallen souls of this Kali Yuga. This might sound like a cliche because it's repeated so many times, but it is an essential fact and thus deserves to be repeated repeatedly. An essential fact. It's not just something that we parrot off dogmatically. That we can understand by reading Srila Prabhupada's book. And Srila Prabhupada is personally present in his books. We were reading yesterday that Srila Prabhupada wrote that Sri Narad is personally present in this chapter, in the fifth chapter of the first canto of Bhagavatam. And what does that mean? Narad is certainly described in that chapter, and his instructions are described. But what does it mean that he's personally present? It might seem that he's impersonally present because only his instructions are recorded there. But because the instructions of the spiritually realized persons are non-different from their personality, therefore Narad is present in his instructions. The speaking of a pure devotee of Krishna is not some mental fabrication that emanates off the tongue, but is pure spiritual sound directly linked with Krishna. And the pure devotees live only to serve and glorify Krishna. Therefore, there is no difference between the speaking of a pure devotee and his very personality. That's why Prabhupada Prana, this can be understood to mean the very life of Prabhupada is the order of his spiritual master. This is the meaning of Guru Mokha Padma Vakya Chetete Koriya Aikya, making the words from the lotus mouth of the spiritual master one with one's heart, that the pure devotees are, their desires are fully and intensely absorbed in Krishna and fulfilling the desire of Krishna. So there is no difference between their words and their very personality. Their words are not limited by time, space, or material thought. Their words are not constrained within the world, within the atmosphere of material desires, which are always changing. Therefore, the words that Narad spoke so many thousands of years ago are just as relevant now as they were then. They are eternal truths, and we can benefit from them as much as Vyasadeva benefited from them. So Srila Prabhupada is present as his instructions, which are systematically presented in his books. Srila Prabhupada's lectures, conversations, letters, they're all there, they're all instructions of Prabhupada. But he especially gave importance to his books. That's why we have to be vigilant not to change the message in his books. Even if the intention is apparently good, we have no right or no mandate to alter the message which Srila Prabhupada has given us. And interpretation is also one kind of alteration. Now, there has been some controversy because Srila Prabhupada's books have been edited. But there's a difference between editing to improve the linguistic presentation and adding one's own interpretation. Within the English-speaking world of devotees, there is some controversy which will probably go on and on and on, because after Srila Prabhupada's departure, his Bhagavad Gita as it is was edited and republished in an edited form. But actually it was required, because there was the Bhagavad Gita as it is was edited and produced by some of Srila Prabhupada's earliest disciples in their beginning phases of Krishna consciousness. And although the philosophy of Krishna consciousness was perfectly presented in the Bhagavad Gita as it is, as they presented it, but there were many, many technical errors. Often when the translator didn't understand the Sanskrit verse which was being quoted, they just left it out. or they quoted the wrong verse or gave the wrong reference. Purports got mixed up, so the purport for one verse was in another verse. In one verse, it speaks about Srila Prabhupada. There's the verse in the 10th chapter in which Lord Krishna says, Pitrinam Aryama Chasmi, among the Pitris or the forefathers, I also among the Pitris or the forefathers, I am Aryama. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada wrote he's dictated that there is a planet of the Pitris. Pitri means the forefathers.
What's the word? Pitri, what's the word in Russian?
Prit. That's interesting. If you don't become a Pitri, you become a Prit, according to Vedic understanding. That's why they do the Shraddha ceremony. Prit is one kind of ghost. Hungry ghost. So, anyway, the person who was hearing the dictation had never heard of a Pitri before because they're new in Krishna consciousness. So they, instead of hearing the planet of the Pitris, they heard the planet of the trees. So they wrote, there is a planet of trees. You have to understand English to understand the absurdity of this. So, in the old edition, it said there is a planet of the trees, which is nonsense. But it's written that Prabhupada wrote this, but Prabhupada didn't say that, so it should have been edited and changed. And it is in the new edition. So, unfortunately, there are some fanatical people who say, no, you can't change it, but it's just changing it to what Prabhupada said and what makes sense and what follows the verse instead of some nonsense which was introduced by his well-meaning but inexperienced editors. Here's another example. In the Srila Prabhupada wrote that about cleanliness, that one should keep clean by regularly bathing, washing one's clothes, shaving, etc. The early disciples of Srila Prabhupada were mostly hippies. And in the early days of the movement, Srila Prabhupada was not very strict. So many of the early devotees had big beards. It doesn't mean you should have big beards. So anyway, maybe Prabhupada is making the point to them that by saying that you should cleaning your clothes, shaving, etc. But Prabhupada's first editor had a big beard, so instead of shaving himself, he shaved the words from Prabhupada's purport. So, thankfully, we now have Bhagavad Gita as it is, and not according to, fully as it is, and not according to Hayagriva, the hippie who became a devotee, who was still in hippie consciousness somewhat at the time. So anyway, this is just one example of the many ecclesiastical and theological controversies that are inevitable in ISKCON as in any religious organization. Do you know what ecclesiastical means? It means concerned with the religious organization. It's inevitable. And maybe that is why Srila Prabhupada said that your love for me will be shown by what? What is the saying? What is it? Your love for me will be shown by what? Your love for me will be shown by your cooperation. That's the usual way that quote is misquoted or not fully quoted. Prabhupada didn't speak in such a vague way. Vague way. Vague, V-A-G-U-E, unclear. Prabhupada didn't use words like, we should all love. Prabhupada wasn't one of these bogus people who just threw out vague terms with no specific meaning. You find all these bogus people, they say, oh, we should just love everybody. Love. Or peace. Just saying peace. And everyone thinks, how wonderful, peace. But nothing practical or concrete. So Prabhupada, he didn't say we should just love. He's made it specific. We have to know who is the object of love. That is Krishna. If we don't channel our love to Krishna, then that love is simply lust. Prabhupada didn't hold peace conferences or just speak of peace. And for that matter, he didn't hold yajnas for peace or even Harinam yajnas for peace. But he made it very clear, according to the message of Bhagavad Gita, that there cannot be peace in the world or individually unless we recognize three principles. What are those three principles? Puktaram, Yajna Tapasam, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, Suhridam Sarva Bhutanam, Gyatva Mam, Shanti Mirchati. We have to recognize that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor, and the supreme friend. So similarly, Srila Prabhupada did not say that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate, just extremely vague, cooperate, cooperate. He didn't say that. He said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this institution together after I have left. Now, isn't that a lot more clear and specific than just the vague term cooperate? It's not such an easy thing. Because certainly in the theological field, there are different outlooks, and different outlooks are usually held very strongly. The tendency for deviation is manifest. It's apparent. It's prominent. Whenever any great teacher comes, including the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, various persons take hold of his message, revamp it, and come up with an opposite understanding or an opposite of what the actual intention of the speaker was. That's why the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said that the atheists have captured the pulpits. The atheists have captured the pulpits. The pulpit is it's like the dice from which a religious speaker speaks. It's the podium from which the religious speaker speaks. It's called a pulpit. There is no greater enemy to the world than atheism in the garb of theism. There's an amazing article by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur saying this. And he said there's no way to stop the atheists grabbing the pulpits, taking hold, taking command of it. Therefore, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur gave so much stress to production of spiritual literature. And in his purports, maybe the main theme was specifically delineating pure theism from its various imitatory forms. So Srila Prabhupada continued that tradition in his purports. So even though it's possible that, and likely, it's actually very likely that people will misinterpret, reinterpret, malinterpret Srila Prabhupada's instructions, or just completely throw them out of the window. Not only is it possible, it's almost positively assured that this will take place. It happened with Krishna's instructions. It happened with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions. So it seems almost certain that the instructions of Srila Prabhupada will also be mangled into a form completely different. I heard a saying, I was told by a devotee who had been in Germany, that there's a saying in German, maybe those who've been in Germany can tell me if it's correct or not, that the last Christian died on the cross. Maybe it was a Nietzsche saying. I don't know. Practically speaking, what is called Christianity today, sometimes scholars of Christianity call that Paulianity. Paulanskva, something like that. It's more based on what the Saint Paul taught. Paul gave his, that comes in the Bible, all his teachings, which actually completely revamps everything that Christ is supposed to have said. So anyway, that's why Prabhupada's books, they have to remain as they are, so that even if various people reinterpret, malinterpret, misinterpret, or throw them out of the window, if the original books are there, then sincere people can connect with the source directly. And that's why translating Srila Prabhupada's books is such an exacting task. Exacting means it's taxing, is another word. It tests you, or it's one has to translate them without bringing one's own material conceptions into the understanding. One has to become Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Aika Arna Kori Homane Asha. And that is the qualification to be a guru, that one simply repeats the message that he has received from his guru. The language may be not exactly the same, but the message has to be the same. That's why we see that sometimes there's confusion within our movement, that, well, one guru says this, someone else says that, but then we have to check, what does Prabhupada say? Because the only qualification to be a guru within ISKCON is to repeat what Srila Prabhupada has given us. We say Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chetete Koriya Aika Ana Koriya Mane Asha, because the Guru's words are non-different from Shastra and the previous Acharyas. You may say, well, then what do I need a Guru for? I can just read the Shastra myself. That's true to some extent. But the Guru gives us instructions relevant from, among the vast body of instructions within Shastra, the Guru gives us those instructions which are necessary for us in our particular condition, and explains that according to our need, and helps us to receive that message without, helps us to receive that message clearly and purely. Because even when we're reading, we have the tendency to filter what we hear through our preconceptions and material attachments. Just like when we read that we should regularly shave, we may not like that, and therefore we may shave it out of the purport. So similarly, when we're reading, when we read something that we don't like, we can just kind of, you know, put it in quarantine or reinterpret it, or say that, well, Prabhupada didn't really mean that. Or maybe he was mistaken. I mean, I don't think that's right, and I know better than Prabhupada, so Prabhupada must be wrong. That's the attitude. The attitude of the Mayavadis, that they, well, Krishna, he was quite a good philosopher, but he wasn't quite right, so we have to reinterpret for him. So we have to regularly study Srila Prabhupada's books. And Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Aika Arna Kori Homane Asha. In this spirit. And hopefully that this kind of discussion, that these words that I'm speaking today, will help us to understand how to accept that knowledge in a manner that will actually benefit us in the best possible way. Okay, these are heavy topics. Heavy in the sense of philosophical and profound, and also heavy in the sense of being of deep import, and also heavy in as much as it's maybe shocking to hear that the statement that it's almost certain that people are going to misinterpret Prabhupada. It's also heavy in as much as it's maybe shocking to hear that it's almost certain that people are going to misinterpret Prabhupada. I'm not talking about outside ISKCON, I'm talking about within ISKCON. But that's why Prabhupada, he said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this institution together after I have left. That cooperation is not just like if we say love, peace, without any, without giving any particular subject of the love and peace, it becomes completely vague. But the cooperation is specifically to keep this institution together after I have left. So the kind of cooperation that we get, or we can envisage, or if we simply say, just like we say, love, peace, cooperation, that kind of love, peace, and cooperation is that of smiling at each other, and that's about all. Just smiling. You do what you like, I'll do what I like, I love you, love, love, peace, peace, cooperation, cooperation, but nothing practical. The cooperation and love in which you just everyone is allowed to do whatever they like, and that's called love because we don't fight with each other, that's not actually love. Srila Prabhupada's institution, ISKCON, must be based on Srila Prabhupada's instructions. So if we think that it's love just to, in a vague manner, smile at each other without following Srila Prabhupada's instructions, so that's not love. That's not cooperation to please Srila Prabhupada. So holding this institution together by sticky tape, that was not what Prabhupada envisaged. Holding it together by sticky tape. You know, sellotape, scotch tape, scotch.
That is not the truth.
No, but it can only be held together by the sincere desire to understand Srila Prabhupada's instructions and follow them. Otherwise, if it just becomes a church, like people come on once a week and they say some pious words and they cross themselves. I don't know what you do in your tradition. In the Catholic tradition, they go like this. And it's just a formal show, but there's no real commitment. Then it becomes like that, a pious social club. Sing a bit, eat a bit, smile a bit, and don't surrender. So it is a great challenge to maintain the intensity of purpose that Srila Prabhupada brought. Father. We like to see pictures or photographs of Srila Prabhupada smiling, and we like to hear stories of him telling jokes. But Srila Prabhupada, as a pure devotee, his devotion for Krishna was intense. It wasn't simply a matter of smiling and joking. He pushed devotees hard to surrender to Krishna. So, maintaining Srila Prabhupada's instructions purely without watering them down with the poison water of material desire, that is a great challenge. And to cooperate on that platform is a great challenge. All right, there are some questions. Yeah, you can read them.
He wants to ask on the topic.
All right, write it down.
Запишите.
Could you please tell about pilgrimage of Sri Krishna Chaitanya to Vrindavan?
Yeah, everyone likes stories. But I don't like to tell stories unless there's some philosophical message, because I see that Prabhupada, he preached like that. He didn't just tell stories for the sake of telling stories. Srila Prabhupada's effort was always didactic. So you may like to hear for and you'll be happy, but instead of asking, tell me some leela, better to ask, tell me, just like Sanatana Goswami told me, tell me that which is required for my purification. So in the course of hearing, Bhagavatam, then all the leelas will come out. But unless one is on the platform of appreciating leela beyond material desires, then it's better not to ask, tell me this leela, that leela. We should ask, please instruct us so that we may become purified. Last year I was in a program somewhere in America with Prahladananda Maharaj. Someone asked him, could you tell us something about your personal experience with Prabhupada? He said, no, I won't tell you. I'll tell you some of the important instructions I received from Srila Prabhupada. And he went on to recite how we're not the body, we have to surrender to Krishna and all these kinds of things. So afterwards he said to me that people, they just like to hear stories as some kind of entertainment, but what we need to hear, that should be heard. So it's better that we want to hear about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu than wanting to hear about some materialistic person. But then why do you want to start at his highest ecstasy? Start at the platform which we can understand. Why don't we want to hear his instructions to Rupa Goswami or Sanatana Goswami or how he defeated the Mayavadis? Yeah. What's the one relevant to the class? Still writing it. It's a long question.
Your Holiness, please explain which mantras we can chant during kirtans. Some devotees chant Nitai 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 Gauranga. Is it correct?
Nitai 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 Gauranga, to be precise.
Here it is written three times.
Well, this is one of those ecclesiastical and theological controversies that I was talking about. And there is actually a Kirtan Standards Committee which has been appointed by the GBC to look into these questions. And I happen to be on that committee. So what we're looking at, the members of the committee, are chants that Srila Prabhupada specifically told us to chant. We hear some of the kirtans, we might think that's just an incidental mantra, but it is actually the mantra that Srila Prabhupada emphasized most of all. Surprisingly enough. Then there are mantras which Srila Prabhupada specifically said not to chant. And we didn't discuss them here because they're not chanted in ISKCON anyway. And there's other things which Srila Prabhupada, he expressed displeasure with, but he didn't always stop. And so some devotees say, well, you know, he wasn't that much against it, so what's the harm?
Expressed displeasure.
Yeah, he would, sometimes he spoke against it, but he didn't always stop the devotees from singing it. Now, there are many chants which were introduced into ISKCON, even when Srila Prabhupada was present, which Srila Prabhupada didn't introduce. Srila Prabhupada himself gave the standard of what should be chanted, but somehow or other that hasn't been followed ever very stringently within ISKCON. So regarding Nitai Gauranga, this chant, well, Srila Prabhupada did write in one purport in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that we should chant all the names of the Panchatattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Shivas Adi Gaur Bhaktavinda. Regarding Nitai Gauranga, Shuta Kirti Prabhu has recorded that once Srila Prabhupada heard devotees chanting this, and he said, they can chant Nitai Gauranga, but I will chant Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. As far as this Nitai, 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 this is a fairly recent invention. This is a fairly recent invention. I think it hasn't come up out of any particularly devotional reason, just it kind of sounds nice. And even if you are going to chant Nitai Gauranga, which Prabhupada didn't introduce and he did express disregard for, then why Nitai chant five times and Gauranga one time? What's the implication of that? So it's quite a big topic. There are tunes and all kinds of things to be considered. Yeah, could those who are sitting in the pathway, as is inevitable, someone will sit in the pathway, come inside, please. Come right in, there's space. Men move forward and know that this time more people, you see, don't block the passageway, please. Come right in, there's space over here. You don't get the point. Well, you just move forward a bit and still block the pathway. Anyway. So, anyway, you get the hang of it. Professor translating it in Shivasha, is it? You have a Kami professor translating it.
Yes, and there are some differences.
Yeah, definitely he's going to get the philosophy wrong. Sometimes that is done, it has been done in different languages just because there's no devotee competent to translate it, but definitely there's going to be some problem there. Should be carefully checked by devotee.
So we should read after his.
Of course, if you should check it. If you don't have a devotee to at least check it, there's hardly worth publishing it because it's not going to be Prabhupada's book. It says you translate from English to Russian to Chivasha, and you might end up with something, you know, quite different. You might end up with there was actually a frog in a well, and you know, it might change from an analogy to a sacred story to be Saint Frog,
Святая лягушка.
Or the frog incarnation. Well, that's less likely to happen, but you never know. But philosophical changes are inevitable because they don't understand the philosophy. You can't understand the philosophy unless you're a devotee. They might even start reading some Mayavadi books to try to understand the Indian philosophy better. So... it's said that a blind uncle is better than none, but we hope. There might be some circumstances in which no uncle is better than a blind uncle. And what to speak of Chivasha, which is a small language, even in Hindi, which is one of the major languages of the world, and in which it's probably in terms of books distributed, maybe it's number two in the world after English of books distributed of Prabhupada. And after so many years, all the books are being re-edited to edit out the occasional Mayavad that slips in due to our editor. Anyway, it's a long story. It may be due to difficulties in language also. Just like where Prabhupada writes, Krishna is the supreme living being, then the Hindi it was given supreme living being as Param Jeev, which is a literal translation, but it gives a Mayavad idea that is something like Lord Brahma or something like is in the same category as the Jivas. It's a literal translation. The translator didn't understand the sense that of Srila Prabhupada. Let's take some more questions because it's almost time for RT. Oh, that question.
Is it correct that devotees shouldn't address each other simply by the name? But
Oh, that question. Yeah, it's better always to say Prabhu, Mataji. Yeah. Men are called Prabhu, and to women you can say Mataji. Is that all right? There is some propaganda that we should call women Prabhu also. Didn't come yet. Okay. In Moscow, yeah. They're more advanced over there. So many funny ideas. Well, I say instead of calling the women Prabhu, we should call the men Mataji. Because the Jiva is Prakriti. So, if you want to make it all one, why not make everyone Mataji? I always wanted to be a gopi. I always wanted to be a gopi, so why wait? Wait a minute, now they're going to put this on the internet. Sahajya, Bhaktivikas Swami's Sahajya, Sahajya preaching. Fortunately, they wouldn't know the difference, so it won't make any difference anyway. They may not know the difference between actual Siddhanta and Sahajya, because they've made it all into one, so I can get away with it. Actually, this idea of woman's liberation, Prabhupada was very much against it, and it's actually a great curse to human society. And the worst sufferers are the women.
В действительности, эта идея освобождения женщин, эмансипации, Шрила Прабхупада был очень сильно против нее, и она является великим проклятием для человеческого общества. И
the women also be free to become cosmonauts and, you know, what else they say? Airline pilots and all this kind of thing. But actually they end up in the factory or driving a bus. And the worst sufferers are the children. Because they don't have a mother. The mother's busy trying to become a cosmonaut. Working in a factory and dreaming of being a cosmonaut. So the children come home and there's no mother and there's no food and there's only a TV. This is going on. But another thing is that feminism is another inevitable result of the industrialized consumer society, which is another reason why Srila Prabhupada stressed so much on the going back to the agrarian way of life. Otherwise, it's very difficult to have any sane civilization. It's very difficult to even think clearly about anything. Therefore, there's so many strange ideas in modern life. And therefore, so many psychological disturbances. In the Netherlands, which is one of the most densely populated, industrialized countries in the world, the Netherlands, Holland, in which actually the people are very intelligent and capable, even though it's a small country, prominent beyond its, far beyond its population and size. And surprise, surprise, they have a very high incidence of psychological disturbance among their population. So they discovered a wonderful treatment for schizophrenics and others. They send them to work in the field. Wonderful cure for mental disturbances. They might have thought that if they hadn't changed the whole society and made it all industrialized, that they wouldn't have had so many problems in the first place. Okay, more questions. I think if... Where is Vasbihari? Is he there? He's there. Shall I answer these questions and then the Arati can go on while I'm answering the questions? We sometimes do that when the class gets extended. Okay. Next.
Should the devotees of the opposite sex who know each other greet each other and can they talk to each other, or they better they just pass each other not greetings?
Difficult question. Because on the one hand, we don't want to be impersonal. On the other hand, for the sake of maintaining the proper atmosphere, men and women shouldn't mix any more than necessary. I have a dilemma about this myself. Actually, before I took sannyas, then I had much less dealings with women. Sannyas is like I was brahmachari, so brahmachari, especially if you're living in India, you don't have very... It's not necessary to have any dealings with women. Although again, if you're preaching means preaching to humankind, not only to mankind, and at least half of mankind is womankind also. But the culture there is such that people can understand that, all right, brahmacharis, they don't mix or deal much with women. Sannyas is like a kind of social religious figure. and people expect you to bless their families and guide their families and become like the spiritual head of a family. So I have this dilemma because it's, you know, some among the ladies, some of them expect you to like smile at them, and others don't like it if you smile at them. So you don't know who's who or what mood they're in. So, you can say Hare Krishna, fold your hands. If you don't have anything more to say, then you can just pass by. There's no need to stop and say so many different things. That's for a brahmachari. And Matajis should also respect that the brahmacharis, that they're taking on a role which is not very easy, and the Matajis should also help them in that. Then again, you have the situation in a small temple where there's lots of service to do, and then just like in the kitchen, it may be that the brahmacharis and the Matajis are mixing. So a real brahmachari, then he'll be polite, but not no more dealings that are necessary for service. Mm-hmm. And should see all women as mother. And all the young ladies should get married. And the parents should arrange that. And if the parents are not devotees, then some of the senior grihastha devotees can arrange that. It's been many big problems because of this, the people don't know how to live. The roles in the modern age, the interaction of the sexes is not very clearly defined, and it creates many problems. Even among grihasthas, you see, it's not that the men should be very much mixing with other people's wives. So, anyway, it's a big topic. Let's go on to the next question.
Так или иначе, это большая тема. Now I read Bhagavad Gita in English, published in 1972. It's a translation there, correct?
Well, that's what I was talking about in the class. There are problems there. The planet of the trees is an outstanding one. Some of the statements in that Macmillan edition, they don't make sense. They just don't make sense. There's something like working with the living being in the fixed consciousness of the spirit or something like that. If you read it, it doesn't make sense. It sounds kind of mystical, but it doesn't really mean anything. So by consultation with the original manuscripts and transcripts, it's been edited to repeat in clear English what Prabhupada actually said. Prabhupada. So definitely you can become Krishna conscious by reading that, as many people have been, but for a more clear presentation, it's better to read the edited edition. Mm-hmm. One in the 1972 edition, one of the things where Krishna speaks about Gauraksha, the editors put in cattle raising, which means it actually means raising cows for slaughter. And Prabhupada, so they said, that's a mistake. It's an editor's mistake. Change it to cow protection, which it's supposed to be. Maybe the devotees had never heard of cow protection. They thought that. What is Srila Prabhupada has got some, he just doesn't know how to express it properly, so they change it to cattle raising. But Prabhupada wrote cow protection. It's because they had no idea of cow protection.
Some devotees admit that.
You can read it in the mic also, because for the benefit of anyone who might hear the recording later.
Mm-hmm. Some devotees admit that they accept that for them other Vaishnava books are more interesting for reading than Srila Prabhupada's books. And Srila Prabhupada's books don't make any feelings in their heart. Also, it is obvious in their preaching. So, Srila Prabhupada's language is very clear, but they preach philosophy of Krishna consciousness with their own language, which is very unclear and doesn't bring sweetness of Krishna consciousness philosophy to the listeners. Mm. So what is the problem of these devotees?
They're Mayavadis. If they don't speak clearly, then clear means vague. Vague means Mayavad. They're Mayavadi. They say, oh, I get better feeling from another book. That means they put their happiness, how I feel, they have made that the criterion instead of surrender to Krishna and his representatives. We find in the Bhagavatam it's described the gradual process of purification by hearing. Bhidyate hridaya grantish chidyante sarva sanshayaha. This comes first. That the knot in the heart is pierced and all misgivings are cut to pieces. That comes first. And then real feelings can appear within the heart. Otherwise, it's just mundane feelings. That's why we always say, study Prabhupada's books again and again. You want to read other books? Yes, good, do it. But afterwards, read Prabhupada's books first. Don't stop reading Prabhupada's books. I've transcended Prabhupada's book.
Could you please ask Gunadhama Prabhu to publish all your lectures, including classes in English, Bengali and Hindi? Otherwise, a lot of nectar is unavailable for us. For example, in Mayapur, every year you give nectarian classes on the preface to the Nectar of Instructions. But because of imperfect translation, not everything is clear.
All right, I can ask him. It's a big job. I don't think even Prabhupada's lectures in Hindi haven't been translated into English. There are not many of recordings left, actually. There was a whole trunk of Prabhupada's Bengali lectures, tapes, which lost.
What should a simple, ordinary devotee do? How he should behave if senior devotees behave improperly according to Srila Prabhupada's instructions? For example, if senior devotees drink water by touching the glass during the class and when the altar is open.
It puts the junior in a difficult situation, doesn't it? Even when the altar is closed, one shouldn't drink water and then again touch the Bhagavatam or anything for that matter.
Даже если алтарь закрыт, человек не должен пить воду, касаясь, и затем он не может касаться Бхагаватам или других.
We need a lot more education in our society. Now there is education in philosophy, but in behavioral, in the standards of Vaishnav culture, there's a huge, huge area of instruction to be given. It's Bhagavan Pandit Prabhu came to me this morning and asked me to tell him something about a seminar on Vaishnav culture. But where do you begin? There's so much. It's too vague to say, tell me something about Vaishnav culture. It's a big subject. What to do? Well, I guess you could politely point out, maybe not in the class itself, that you have heard from such and such, and you can quote an authority that this is not correct. You have to do it very humbly and expect some thunderbolt. Thunderbolt. Another thing is, you can lock me up somewhere, put me in prison or something like that, and stop me traveling, and then I'll finish my book on Vaishnava culture, which has been pending for so many years. And then you can refer to that. Well, then hopefully devotees will learn many things. Question. Don't accept any more questions. We'll finish with these ones. Well, before I answer this question, I'm going to say something which I've been meaning to say for the last few days, but I forgot, and it just came in my mind now. And this is actually a GBC rule regarding deity worship. This is a GBC rule regarding deity worship. Mm-hmm. That the picture of the guru, of the devotee who's offering arati, should be on the altar just at the time when they're offering arati. And actually not even on the altar, it's supposed to be at the side of it, and it should be significantly smaller than that of the previous acharyas, including Srila Prabhupada. Personally, I don't like my picture to be any, you know, even half the size of Prabhupada. It's just for the pujari who's offering there to see. I could also suggest that the pujari, when offering the arati, stands to the side. I mean, the pujari is not there to be seen. I also noticed one devotee, when offering arati, will turn and then he offers it some few times to myself there, but I didn't come to be worshipped. I came to worship. So you can just show it, that's all. Just show the item. Also anyway, that's enough for now. What's that question? What was that question again? Just tell me about you.
Uh-huh, that devotee should perform devotional service.
Yeah. No, that's not exactly what I said, that we shouldn't perform devotional service for our own purification. But on when we rise above the neophyte platform, we don't think only of our purification, but we think of how to spread this mission, spread this message to others. So we hear many questions, how to chant attentively and this and that, but actually this comes automatically if we dedicate ourselves to the mission of the acharyas. Yeah. Not exactly automatically, but we get so much impetus when we throw ourselves into the preaching mission. If our emphasis is only on our own spiritual advancement, then we haven't really caught the current of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings.
Sometimes local authorities often says that we should perform devotional service under the guidance that we need a spiritual counselor. What did Srila Prabhupada say on this topic? And sometimes local authorities can be interested not to allow devotee to leave this particular place. How important is it to follow instructions of local authorities in the temple?
Well, that was the system. I mean, he didn't use the word counselor exactly, but that was the system that Srila Prabhupada set up, that devotees would work under the local temple president. Just practical, because how could Prabhupada personally supervise so many devotees spread all over the world? There can be a conflict between the needs of the individual and the needs of the institution. So it requires that the leaders also be sensitive to the needs of the individual devotees, as well as engaging them in activities for the furtherance of the preaching mission. It's very difficult to run a spiritual institution. That's a paraphrase of one thing Prabhupada said.
Very difficult
to run a spiritual institution. It's relatively easy to run a business. You pay people and they work. If they don't work, you kick them out. But to inspire people to serve Krishna is a different question altogether. In many temples of ISKCON throughout the world, they solve the problem of how to get all the services done by paying devotees. But almost inevitably, the spirit of selfless service and surrender is compromised by that. Anyway, I'm just answering briefly. I think that was the last question, right? And then this one just came in. You?
No.
No, all right.
Я коротко отвечаю. How is it possible to achieve state of unconditional love to other person, such love which Krishna feels to his devotee? Does it mean that we should become the same as Krishna? Because human being, even most exalted devotee, still is a human. Therefore, it seems that for human being, state of unconditional love is unachievable for human being, state of unconditional love. And human being can only try to come to this level, try to achieve this level of unconditional love, but he will never be able to feel it with him completely.
No, the center of love is Krishna. We don't say love everybody and also Krishna. The center is Krishna, and we love everybody because of the center. They're all related to Krishna. Human being in the conditioned stage is conditioned, and therefore there's no possibility of having unconditional love. Transcend that conditioning and come to the fully spiritual platform, then we come to our constitutional position in which there is unconditional love for Krishna. You have stated that it's impossible for a human being to come to that level. That's a philosophical mistake to state that. It is possible. We don't have to remain full of lust, greed, anger, and envy forever. It is not our constitutional position to be full of lust, greed, anger, and envy. It is our constitutional position to love Krishna without any personal desire, and with Krishna in the center, that naturally that love spreads to all other living beings. We can't love all loving beings in the way that Krishna does, in the sense that Krishna has a personal relationship with every other living being. We are limited.